give you an idea, this is a typical street preaching ministry. We use signs and we preach the gospel.
Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. He died for the sins of the whole world and shed his blood. You repent toward God with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be saved. Otherwise, you are lost. Jesus said, he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he does not believe on the dead, the only begotten Son of God.
So you can see there, we get both positive and negative responses. People will honk their horns and give us a thumbs up, and others will give us a different finger. And that all comes with it. Don't get your feelings hurt. And, you know, some of you people just need to get out there and get at it, and then after a while, you'll stop letting stuff like that bother you. Jesus says in Matthew 5:11, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." And not that I enjoy it, but when it's happening, if you will remember the words of Christ, and it's a promise given to us by Paul in 2 Timothy 3:12. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So when you think about the promise that Paul made, you must be doing something right if you're suffering persecution for preaching the gospel, for living the Christian life, for taking a stand for what's right, not these nitpicky little convictions that people make a big deal and hobby horses out of, but I'm talking about standing for the purity of the King James Bible, the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, and repentance unto God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, calling on men to repent of their sins and turn to God for salvation. And if you take a stand for the important matters of prophecy, like the pre-trib rapture and not replacing Israel with the church, if you're persecuted for these things, you're persecuted for standing for the deity of Jesus Christ, for the Trinity itself, and for the reality of heaven and the reality of a burning hell where people suffer in an eternal lake of fire where the torment ascendeth, the smoke of their torment ascendeth forever and ever. If you're standing for those important, clear truths of Scripture and you suffer persecution, you're blessed.
Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Repent and believe the gospel. Jesus would like to save all. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's true love. God gave himself to save you.
And so that's why when things like this happen, you have to understand that it doesn't mean you just sit there and cower in fear either. Jesus responded, Paul responded to people whenever they came after him and tried to attack him. And we'll go to Acts 21 as an example. But I'll just show you, this guy had walked past me as I'm preaching. He starts blaspheming Jesus Christ. And I rebuked him. And I told him that Jesus Christ was going to judge him, and if he did not repent, Jesus was going to cast him into a lake of fire. Now, we're standing and talking, and at times it becomes a bit heated because a guy would just fly off at me when I tried to answer him, but also the traffic behind us. You have to understand we were talking a little loud because of the traffic. So some of you real sissies and, you know, tender hearts out there, don't bother rebuking me because of my tone and because of the way I talk. Get over it. Some of you little girls out there need to grow up and become men. And these guys are used to going up on Christians and shutting them down. Well, when they meet someone who's a real spirit-filled, Bible-believing, blood-bought, born-again, fearless, because the only person we're to fear is God, they're not used to running into somebody like that. And that's who they ran into yesterday whenever we were street preaching. This is just to give you an example of what kind of thing was going on.
I'm trying to speak it and you... Right there, you keep screaming at me when I'm trying to explain
my
point.
I'm asking you to give me, I don't want empty nonsense. Tell me where the Bible is tracked.
Don't interrupt me.
I didn't interrupt you. You made a statement and then
you just did.
know you. Wait a second.
I'm about to speak and you keep talking.
If you're going
to
accuse me of interrupting every time you ask me a question.
I want to stop there for a second. This guy was asking me questions, and then all I would do is answer his question, and he would accuse me of interrupting him. See, kids, that's what pot and heroin use will do to you. And I'm not joking. We're trying to reach a generation with this Joel Osteen method of tippy-toeing through the tulips. And let me tell you something. These guys, their brains are toast. Their souls are dark. And you have got to meet them on their turf. And you've got to be able to speak their language. Of course, not profanity, but in street language, deal with them. And this little joker was coming up on me and saying things and then asking me questions. And when I would answer, first of all, he'd accuse me of yelling. And you can listen to my voice. I was not yelling. I was talking loud enough he could hear me because there's a couple hundred cars. You look at all the traffic and people honking and stuff in addition. And he would accuse me of interrupting. He would ask me a question, and when I would try to answer, he would accuse me of effing interrupting him. And that's what we're dealing with here.
You asked me about the Bible, and I answered you. That's not interrupting. Now I'm asking you, and I'm waiting for an answer.
All right.
Tell me one example in the Bible that is strange.
All right. The death of Jesus. All right?
Yes.
They say...
Now, let's show you at this point. He doesn't know what he's talking about, and he's not able to really think clearly as he's talking. And he says things that are totally baseless. I provide answers. And he doesn't like the fact that I'm able to answer him because most Christians are too ignorant to answer. He's used to asking these questions and Christians saying, I have no idea. Well, I've read his stupid book of Lilith and the book of Enoch and all this crap and trash. A lot of you professing Christians are getting caught up in too. Those are not infallible books from God. Trash them. All the names of the angels and Enoch and all that is crap. It's satanic lies. And it's producing this stuff.
First book. They say it's the first. They literally say it was the first life of God. Then who was the one?
This man wearing the Bible.
Because they were moving.
A pot smoker back in the days of opium.
You ask a question.
So there again, you see it. He asked me a question, and then because I gave him the answer, and the answer was there's a bunch of opium and drug abusers, and it's pharmakia, sorcery in the King James Bible are the same thing. And this guy, who himself is into sorcery, and not just, you know, the books he's reading, but the pot and the heroin or whatever he's doing. He never denied it when I asked him. He never denied doing those drugs. And he asked a question, I give him the answer, and then I'm interrupting. Now listen to what his response is. When I said, you asked me a question, and I'm giving you an answer.
You asked me a question, I'm supposed to...
It was a metaphorical question.
It's a metaphorical question. That's... There's no such thing. I think he meant rhetorical, which means that you're not really asking for a response. But he did ask for a response, so it's not a metaphorical question. It's not a rhetorical question. It was he asked a question, and when I gave him the answer, he didn't want the truth. And that's what you're facing with these people. They don't want the truth. And most people, I think most professing Christians, they don't want the truth. I get asked every once in a while about the strong delusion. Now, I do not believe the strong delusion actually takes place until after the rapture, and it's after the Antichrist, Daniel 9, 24, 27, when he confirms the covenant with many, and people take the mark. I believe that's what the mark puts the seal on the deal that they're done. You can't be saved after you take the mark. And in the context of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11, he's talking about the Antichrist in verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And it's talking about the Antichrist. And those who will, in verse 10, be deceived. He says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. I mean, these people take the mark are gone. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. That describes what's going on now, even though the strong delusion is yet future. There is a generation already. This generation does not love truth. They love lies. You want to know why? I firmly believe this, that people like myself, Greg Miller's not the only true Bible-believing preacher on the block, but of all the people I know who stick to the book and really preach it, they're not very popular. You don't have the millions of people trying to claw the door down to get into your churches and to watch your videos. Why? Because people want Joel Osteen. People want Benny Hinn. People want TBN. People want Joseph Prince. People want lied to. Why? Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in an unrighteousness. Now, follow me here. Pleasure in unrighteousness is all over. You can see it's Sodom and Gomorrah. And while the strong delusion isn't here yet, the Spirit is. The Spirit of Antichrist is here. And this guy is full of that Spirit. He does not love the truth. He didn't care what I was saying, but he didn't like the fact that I did have answers. And so he'd back up and start accusing me of interrupting him when he just asked me a question.
You asked, who is Adam's other wife? I said, we have no other wife.
Who is Mrs. other wife?
Based on what?
Based on the Torah, the original book that Jesus was studying. You want me to go get my binder and look it off?
Yeah, go get your binder.
I'll be back.
Now, he tried to claim that this stuff about Lilith was in the Torah. I think maybe he might have been referring to the Talmud, and that's not a source. The Talmud's junk. The Talmud is what the Pharisees were all caught up in, and Jesus rebuked them for obeying the traditions of men rather than the commandments of God. But it's not in the Torah. There's nothing about Adam having more than one wife. There's no Lilith. And I was kind of glad he said, I'll go get my tablet or whatever, where I've got all of it. See, I'll guarantee you getting the stuff off of YouTube. We're on YouTube, yes, but we are a Bible-believing local church. I pastor a group of about 40 or 50 at this point in April of 2016, and don't expect my numbers to ever get much bigger anywhere on YouTube either, because, you know, people don't love the truth. Most of the people who listen to our videos listen long enough to get hacked off and send me a nasty email. We read letters we love when we begin our studies, and especially in our study of Mark and Galatians, Ephesians, and those in our Sunday studies. Sometimes I have trouble finding a good letter to read. I mean, we get stuff in the mail and an email, and it's just nasty. They hate it. Praise God. That's what I'm here for. This is the Noah generation. If you're a man of God, you're here to be Noah. You're here to be despised. You're here to be rejected. You're here to be the Jeremiah of your generation. Tells me I'm doing something right whenever the emails are full of profanity, they're full of blasphemy, and they rarely quote the Bible, and when they do, it's usually a perverted new version. You can tell a lot about a man by his enemies. You want to judge me? Look at my enemies. I'll let that speak for itself. These are the kind of people who hate this ministry. And so he does come back, but he doesn't bring some tablet with all kinds of facts. I think he knows why. I'm not the answer to I'm not a walking encyclopedia, but I can answer these guys. I know as much about that crap as they do. I was saved out of that stuff. When I was saved back in 1989, I'd spent several years reading all the nonsense you could get your hands on, the New Age movement, the Bhagavad Gitas of the Hindus, the Quran. I read selected passages. I had a little book called Selected Passages, and they tried to convince me it was a wonderful book and everything. I've read this stuff. I read these occult books. The only book I hadn't read until recently was the Book of Enoch, actually. I read it three or four years ago. I'd read selected portions of that as well. But anyway, he comes back and thinks he's going to prove something. Oh, and at this point, he brings up who wrote the King James, and he says it's William Shakespeare.
How could a book made up in the second
Holy Bible, the King James?
Yes, I do.
Who?
First of all, the Bible was in Hebrew and Greek.
And who wrote the King James?
40 different authors wrote the Hebrew and Greek
books.
William
Shakespeare.
I started to tell him, the Bible was written by 40 different authors. And over a period of a couple thousand years. And he didn't want to hear all that. He didn't want to hear facts.
First of all, that
you bought,
see, where you didn't prove that. You read that in a stupid book and you bought it. You know, no offense, but you're a sucker. You're just a sucker. You read something in a book and you believe it. You didn't even test it.
The fact
it.
That you sit here...
You didn't even test what you just said to me.
The fact
I've
that
spent 25 years...
May I talk without you?
Not when you ask me a question and don't give me an opportunity to answer
he
you.
He wanted to watch a YouTube video and believe that William Shakespeare wrote the King James Bible. We know William Shakespeare didn't write the King James Bible because we can look at the Masoretic Hebrew text and the received Greek text, and 99% of the time, what you can translate from the Hebrew and Greek texts that were used by the King James translators is clear in the English. So what did William Shakespeare have to do with it? Even if he did translate it, he's still not writing it, he's translating it. So I could go on and on with my answer there, and maybe we'll deal with that more later. But I try to just preach the gospel when I go out, so I try to revert back and preach the gospel, but instead this guy, he leaves again, and when he comes back with a little sign. I'm not sure if we get a good shot of it or not in the video, but his sign says, "Religion kills."
You are filled with the spirit of Satan. You will answer to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for your sins, and you will answer for your rejection of his blood. Religion kills, Jesus saves. You don't have the sense to know the difference. It's all that pot, all those drugs. Your generation is the damned generation taking America to hell. Your generation is the most pathetic generation. We had the greatest generation, now we have the most pathetic generation.
He's seen that on TV. I've seen other people do that. I've seen other people when someone's out there street preaching, and also, you know, the Westboro type people who have the, you know, God hates fags and all that. We don't associate with them, but we're not going to stop doing what we do just because of a bunch of crackpots are doing it wrong. And he's seen that on TV, so he went and got a cardboard and wrote Religion Kills. Now, what's funny is you're going to see that another guy enters the picture who claims to be a Vineyard Christian.
You're a fake. You're a fake.
Yeah, you record
you're
that.
You're a fake.
But I'm just
recording
that.
I'm just
telling
you. Answer to
you
God.
You got no right
you're
to talk to him
to
like
God.
That.
You're going to answer to God. Look at me. You're going to answer to God. Shut your mouth.
Everybody fucking
you are
going God.
To answer to God for being a fake.
You have no right
you
to talk to him.
I have
like
every
that.
Right to talk to
he's
him.
He's already talked to him for 10 minutes ago. You weren't
hey,
here.
Guys,
were
I
you here?
In your church, okay?
You're just pathetic. Go to a real church.
I mean, if I had people like that claiming to be a part of our ministry, I'd be up rebuking them and telling them not to identify with this church if you're going to live the way you live and speak the way you speak of this second guy who comes in. But anyway... we're just trying to preach the gospel, and here come these guys who are full of the devil. One of them, he at first claimed to be a Christian, and then he started to bring up all this occult stuff. He mimics what he sees on TV with a religion kills sign. And so I start preaching, and I use him as a part of my message. Well, that hacks this Vineyard guy off, who's carrying a case of beer with him. He thinks he's hidden his beer so we couldn't see it, and he puts his beer behind something and walks across the street to rebuke us.
That's why you use the F word, you pathetic fake.
You
your church
daddy.
Is not real. Yeah, you're a real Christian.
Dude, you're a hypocrite. Do not talk to that man like that.
Shut your mouth. Shut your godforsaken mouth. Yeah, fake apostates. You're satanic.
We don't pick up the things he's saying, and I'm glad, because what I was responding to was blasphemy. He was saying filthy things about Jesus Christ, denying his deity and things besides that were blasphemy. And listen, folks, I don't apologize for that message at all. That's a message I want this generation to hear. America, this generation is pathetic. You are a pathetic generation. You're the generation sending America to hell.
This is what Antichrist religion looks like. Antichrist comes to get along. Antichrist comes to get along.
You're an idiot.
You're a fake. You're a pathetic excuse for a Christian, you fake.
You don't turn anybody
you
like that.
You are a fake.
So here we have this: these guys who are out there rebuking me for all I'm preaching is the simple gospel message. I wasn't out there saying, God hates queers, or God hates the Jews, or God hates... I wasn't doing any of that. I was preaching a simple gospel message. And then I'm rebuking this guy, and this other drunkard from the vineyard, he thinks that I'm rebuking a homeless guy or something, I guess. I didn't pick it up at the time, but as we've reflected on what happened, I think he may have thought we were rebuking a homeless guy because he was holding a sign. I guess he thought the guy said, we'll work for food or something. it said religion kills. So anyway, you get a piece of this. I was going to talk to the guy nice. I was just going to say, hey, listen, here's what the deal is. He claimed to be a Christian. I was going to, you know, but I couldn't talk to him nice, so I rebuke him as well.
He's got a 24-pack over there. He's going to go get wasted.
Go get drunk! Get drunk for Jesus! Get drunk for Jesus! Yeah! Yeah! You fake!
You see what he had there? You have this satanic occultist joining with a drunkard vineyard professing Christian against us. If they had shut their mouths, the only thing they would have heard out of us was the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Jesus died for the sinners. He died to pay for your sins. Repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be saved.
Think about that. And you get in my face and you start blaspheming and using the F word, I'm going to rebuke you. I'm going to tell you to shut your God-forsaken mouth. And you think this, and I know that's how a lot of you guys respond. Well, I think you're a pathetic excuse yelling at people like you are. Yeah, that's how dead you are spiritually that you'd think like that. Your blasphemy, your wickedness, your promiscuity, your complete disregard for the teachings of Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul, your complete disregard for the Bible. You just live in this gush world of no substance. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God for and is profitable for doctrine, and you couldn't give a flip. And then when I preach the gospel, all I was preaching is the gospel. And I get verbally assaulted by you. So this guy walks back over, and he's yelling, effing faggot is what he's calling me. Effing faggot. He says it over and over. While he's walking away, rebuking me to go get his case of beer.
Repent and believe the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Repent toward God with faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. He will save you today if you will repent toward him. Jesus alone
was saved. I rebuke them until they're gone, and then I go right back to preaching the gospel, because that's what it's all about.
Repent, believe the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Repent means to turn toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will turn with faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ as payment for your sins, He will save you. Otherwise, you will go to hell. It's that simple.
So when those people weren't yelling and interrupting, I simply preached the gospel. And that satanic occultist with his religion kill sign, he heard the gospel in, you know, laid out in various ways, but the basic gospel, and each time, he heard the gospel at least a dozen times. And he'll answer to God for that. That fake vineyard guy didn't stick around to hear anything. He had to go get drunk. But in the meantime, I assure you that only those two guys and the chick who is waiting on the drunk vineyard guy or the drunkard vineyard guy, those three, I guess you'd say, only those three actually really saw the confrontation that was going on there. And I'm telling you, it's a beautiful thing. I hope to get a chance, as long as the Lord leaves me here, I want to rebuke these guys to their face And when they stand before God at the great white throne, Jesus isn't going to look at them and say, well, I understand he could have been nicer. And so, you know, we'll let this go. You come on in. It isn't the way it works. And you people who want to, I know some of you won't be able to control yourself. You'll have to post and write your emails. You are ignorant of the Bible. You just don't read the Bible. You don't know the Bible. You don't know Jesus. You don't know Paul. You don't know anything about ministry. And if you would read the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John slowly and carefully, Jesus didn't only speak roughly or rebuke the Pharisees. That's a lie. It's a fable from modern evangelicalism to excuse their unwillingness to be unliked. So there you have it. Now, that doesn't happen every time we go out. We've been at this same street corner I don't know how many times, and that's the worst it's gotten. And when I have my wife with me, I try to go to places I think are going to be less confrontational. Well, I guess it was June when they legalized sodomite marriage. We went out with a sign just says homosexuals choose their sin. And it called on them to choose Jesus instead and be saved. That's paraphrasing. It got really bad. And they're driving by spitting and cussing and carrying on. And got out of their car. They stand in the street corner and yell at us. And then one car came up on the sidewalk, tried to run over us. And it was a real steep edge where the sidewalk was, and it jolted their car. They probably would have run over us. I mean, it was pretty wild. And so I try not to involve my wife in those situations, but sometimes you just can't help it. And hey, folks, you know, she's just there holding a sign, and she used her phone to record, and she prayed while it was all going on. But all of us, man and woman, doesn't matter, male or female, we may have to suffer. And yes, to go out and preach the gospel on the streets. Some of you have asked us to put these videos up, and I wanted to so that you could see what it's like. Sometimes it gets a little rough, and I'm not telling you to handle it that way. I'm not telling you how to handle it. I'm just telling you that I believe we need men who will stand firm, and when blasphemers and apostates come in their face, that they will stand their ground and rebuke them. And I think if we had men like that on every street corner of every city of America, things would be different. Of course, persecution would probably rise. There'd be probably a lot more persecution. But there'd also, I believe, be a greater move of God in this country. But I'm only one man. I'll do what I can do. You watch our videos and you get tips on how to do what you feel led to do. We help you when it comes to knowing how to make the signs and order the signs. And you know, you do things as God leads you. I'm not telling you to act like me, but don't write me letters and tell me to act like you either. There you go. That's why we appreciate your prayers. And we're going to keep doing this, and we'll keep preaching, and when they come in our face, we'll keep rebuking them until the Lord comes back. Amen.
Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, King James Bible.